shape, and the dominance of the Jews of Lithuania ended now. Even though Lithuania would remain a home for the Jews for the next 300 years, it never had, relatively speaking, a tremendously large Jewish population. Before the Second World War, there were about 350,000 Jews in Lithuania. And the Jewish Lithuania exerted a tremendous influence on the Jewish world because of the scholarship and because of the yeshivas of Lithuania. But Lithuania as a Jewish center no longer was dominant after this revolution. In 1653, finally, the rebellion came to an end. The Polish government, together with the Polish kings, rather, and the kings of Russia, put down the revolution in a very convincing fashion. It is estimated that they executed 10 to 12,000 of the Cossacks. And the executions were always public, so that you had no doubt as to what was occurring. And Khmelnytsky himself was executed, and the leadership of the revolution was destroyed, and it had shot its bolt. It really did not capture the imagination of the people anymore. They were just tired. Some say that Khmelnytsky died in 1657 of natural causes. Hard to know, because again, we don't have very good records of the time. But in any event, that decade, he certainly was dead in 1657, that decade of 1648 to 1657, that upheaval, which cost approximately 500,000 lives, 300,000 of which were Jewish, was the testament to him. He is one of the leading butchers in the history of the world. Person with almost no redeeming social value. However, as I mentioned to you, he is the hero of the Cossacks and the Ukrainians. He's a folk hero. And the picture, the statue of him in Kiev with his Cossack hat, riding a horse, pointing to the heavens, is a heroic picture of somebody who is basically a very, very evil person. Now, this was certainly the birth pangs of the Messiah, right? I mean, there had never been, since the time of the destruction of the Second Temple, there had never been such a mass slaughter of Jews within such a compressed period of time. And the impression that it made on its generation was equal, if not greater, than again the impression in our time that the Holocaust made upon the Jewish people. What lessons were to be derived therefrom, that's a different question that we will discuss. But the impression was enormous. There was not a Jewish community in the world, practically, that was not aware of it. We have records even that news of the disaster reached such far-flung places as India and Yemen. And special prayers were made and were authored and recited on behalf of the dispossessed Jews. Collections were made all over the Jewish world. Money was raised. An attempt to somehow alleviate the suffering as to whatever extent possible. It made a tremendous impression on the Jewish world. And the greatest impression was that it raised that stark question of why. Why did such a thing happen? For what purpose? So unless one would say that the world was, everything was at random, then there is no purpose to anything. And by so saying, deny all of Jewish thought, we were hard-pressed to come to an answer, to a realization, to an explanation of what happened, why had it happened. And there was therefore